You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Let me say something else about that purple box, too. And every now and then used to, some of us had a dear friend that used to sit right there by that purple box. His name was Joe Bell. And Joe, that box was to help Rec Room people. You are allowed to put money in that box. Yes. There will be no warrants, no write-ups. You are allowed to put money in. Now, let me say something else. You're allowed not to also. That's why we don't pass the collection plate. But if you want to help Rec Room people, that's how you do it. Every penny that goes in that box goes to help Rec Room people. Doesn't go for the coffin, the cokes, and the goodies that we have back here. It just goes to help people. A lot of different things we've used that money for over the years. It'd be surprising at some of the needs, but that's what it goes for. So if you'd like to get a blessing, then just drop something in that box to help somebody else. And let me tell you this, God's not broke, so you don't need to put anything in there. You know, Paul said this. He said, not of necessity. You don't need to do it, but if you want to do it. And that's what God looks at, is her heart. You could put $1 million in there and whine about it, and he wouldn't bless it, but you could put $1.298 in there and be thrilled, and he'd bless you for it. So, anyhow, now, a few weeks ago, Guida and Tommy Woods, Tommy doesn't come here often. She works and got kids to take care of, but she's an ex-inmate also. She's here some. But they have joined up to help furnish apartments and so forth for people who are going to get out of Clover House, coming out of jail, coming out of prison. Just getting them an apartment. For the first few years of the Rec Room, we had somebody doing that and then moved off. And we haven't had anybody doing it. And Guida announced tonight that they've got two couches that they need to put somewhere. One of them makes into a bed. So if you need that, Guida is, stand up, Guida. Look, that's Guida, okay? You need to talk to her about that. Now, look, now let me tell you something. We've learned some things over the years, and we've found that it costs to do these things. It costs gas money to go get stuff, pick up stuff, get people to deliver stuff. So there'll be a charge on that. You may have to pay as much as... How much would they have to pay for the couch?
$10.
$10? Well, you're trying to... Yeah, you're going to pocket a lot of money, aren't you? Yeah. I see what you're doing, God. I didn't know that you was making all that money. $10 for a couch, goodness. But that'll help them. They also are having to pay for the storage where they keep in those things, and that's not cheap in this town. So, anyway, you can talk to her about that, and I'm thankful for that. As they get things, if you know people that are getting rid of something, then please let us know, so we can use it to help our people. It's just that simple. We want to do that. And so, and some of you ladies need new stuff so you can donate your old stuff to God and Tommy. Okay? All right, we got some great special music tonight. Thank you again for being here. Come ahead and let's sing.
Yes, we do have some special music. Y'all help me do one more song while she comes. And you know this song. We might have to do it a couple times. It goes like this. Well, Lordy, 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 Miss Claudy. This is Claudy. And I always have to do that song for her when she's going to. But she's going to sing for you tonight. Y'all be real sweet to her because she tells me she's kind of nervous. But she really isn't, you can tell. Well, Lordy, 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 Miss.
Sing song.
Oh, that helps me a lot, you know. Since you talked with the Lord, how long since your heart started over? You start it over, please. I'm just barely see the screen. Go ahead. Start it again. I'm sorry. Since you talked with the Lord, how long since you've been in secrets? Thank you. How long since you prayed? How long since you stayed on your knees till the light shone through? How long has it been since your mind felt at ease? How long since your heart felt no burden? Can you call him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that he cared for you?
Can you call him your friend? How long has it been
since you knew that he cared for you?
How long has it been since you knelt by your bed? How long since you were up in heaven? How long since you knew that he would answer you and would keep you the long night through? How long since you woke with the dawn and felt that the days were the living? Can you call him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that he cared for you?
Can you call him your friend? How long has it been
since you knew that he cared for you?
Have a Bible, I'd like for you to turn to the book of Daniel, and if you don't have one and would like to turn to the book of Daniel, if you hold your hand up, we'll see you get one. Need a Bible. Now, Daniel comes right after Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. And we're going to be in Daniel chapter 3. Now, this is a familiar story to many of you. It's one of those stories that we kind of get excited about. The first worldwide empire was the Babylonian Empire. There's just some historical background on this. And the head, the king of that empire, was a man by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. And they ended up in the process of overthrowing Israel. And Nebuchadnezzar took much of the things that Israel had, not only of value, but he took the best of their kids, family, to build just a better race of people. And one of those guys, young men, was Daniel. There were three others. We call them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And Nebuchadnezzar, like all other nations back at that time other than Israel, were heathen, did not trust God, were idolaters. And we're going to start reading in chapter 3 of Daniel at verse 1, and we will read and comment a little bit and then kind of wrap it up quickly. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 70 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. This is something that's 90 feet by 9 feet. It stuck high in the air. I guess the best way to explain it out here, it looked kind of like the pulling unit. And about that wide. Board that the derrick man stands on rigs is a little over 90, or a little less than 90 feet. Because you usually have 3 strings of pipe, 30 feet in the average. So it's 90 by 9. It's an unusual thing. It's pure gold, the Bible tells us. He said, then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. He's invited all the important people to come, and they're going to worship and praise at that golden image. Notice, he said, then the princes, the governors, captains, the judges, treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that's everybody, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psalmistry, dulcimer, and all kinds of music. See, we're going to have praise and worship. You fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whosoever falls not down and worship shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. These people didn't have freedom of religion. See, we don't understand that in America. We've always had it. We got freedom of religion. We got freedom of no religion. They didn't. He said, now, when the music starts playing, you hit your knees. And he said, if you don't, we're going to throw you in the fire furnace. That's worse than ISF. That's worse than Clover House. Some of you folks whining about Clover House, you need to see how Nebuchadnezzar handled stuff. See? Now then, therefore at that time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet and all of these musical instruments and all kind of music, all the people, the nations and language fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of all these musical instruments shall fall down and worship the golden image. That's right. Whoso falleth not down and worship, that he should be cast into the midst of the fiery furnace. There are certain Jews. There's always a snitch.
Somewhere in the
midst. See? They said there's some Jews that didn't do what you said to do. We're going to find out it's Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. He said, there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Now, they had been elevated to places of authority. They'd done so well when they got there. They had excelled in their grades. They'd excelled physically. They'd excelled mentally. And they were put in places of leadership, which always causes jealousy. And so the snitches said, we'd get even with them now. They didn't fall down and worship. And he said, they have not regarded thee, O king. Verse 12. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage, you don't make people mad? Don't worship like they tell you to worship. In his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not you serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kind of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Nobody can deliver you out of my hands. It's not a God. I'm king. I'm over the whole world. He was. This was the first monarchy. Babylon ruled the world. And he said, I'm going to give you one more chance. I like you guys, but you're going to worship like I tell you to. So here's what you do. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and he rose in haste and spake and said to his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth, whoops, is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fire furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the princes, governors, captains, kings, counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose body the fire had no power, nor was the hair of their heads singed, neither was their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. And this is one of those stories that's just thrilling. Nothing is more thrilling than coming out of the ashes of defeat to victory. Shadrach and Meshach are vindicated. They've come from the back of the pack to win. Nebuchadnezzar, the king himself, has said, your God is right, mine's wrong. Man, you can't beat that. And this, now, now we start, praise God. But I want you to, I want to go back a step. Go back with me to verses 26. No, verse 16. I'm sorry, we kind of ended verse 16. I want you to notice what he said. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from burning fire furnace. Now, that was the first thing he told him. He said, our God can deliver us. We don't doubt that. Now, they didn't say he's going to deliver us. He said he can. And he didn't deliver them from going into it, did he? Said he can deliver. Notice the next statement that they say. He will deliver us out of your hand. Either way, you can't touch us. We can go in the fire furnace in heaven. We just go by the way of the fire furnace. But you won't get to touch us. Either way. God can deliver us, and he's definitely going to deliver us from you. But now notice this, and if you're a Bible marker, if you're a highlighter, if you're an underliner, there's three words here I want to talk to you about. But if not. What if God doesn't? Well, then I quit. What if God doesn't heal me? See, we spend all of our time praying for God to do something for us, and there are people all over this town that are mad at sitting at the house because God didn't do what they told God to do, and they quit. We need somebody that'll just say, but if not, I'm still going to serve you. Notice the two things they said. But if not, we will not serve your gods, and we won't worship that image. Doesn't make any difference what's going to happen. But if not, you know why most of us never get to walk in the fire furnace? We never did anything get thrown in there. Most of us never offend anybody. We're so afraid we're going to offend somebody. We might mention somebody that they like. Oh, well, I don't believe y'all talk about another religion. Well, they ought not made himself public if they don't want to be talked about. See? They said, but if not, we don't care. Whatever, we're just not going to do it. So we need somebody. Lord, if you won't get me out of jail, fine, I'm still going to serve you. Lord, if mama dies, I'm still going to serve you. Lord, if I lose my car, I'm still going to serve you. We need some people that when they said yes to Jesus, meant it from here on, all the way through the fiery furnace. See, you don't get to walk in the fiery furnace until you do something to get thrown in there. And notice this, they went in the fire. God could have kept them out. But here's what Jesus does so many times. He said, I won't keep you out of it, but I will walk with you in it. I just walk in there with you. The king looked down and said, hey, I thought we threw three men in there. And they said, King, we did. He said, how come there's four and one's? Isn't this amazing that Nebuchadnezzar knew what the Son of God looked like? You can't miss him. See? Now, you miss a bunch of us, and you ought to, but you can't miss him. You know when God is talking to you. Job is sitting out there in the ash heap. He's got boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. God said that he's the best man on earth, and he's going through more hell than anybody on earth, and he's got three friends sitting there telling him, Job, you got some kind of sin in your life, and if you straighten up, God bless you. Well, and you know what Job said? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I've cast my lot with Jesus Christ, and whatever comes along, I'm for it. Paul said it this way. He said, I reckon. He must have been Texas. He said, I reckon. I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Paul could go through all those sacrifices. Paul went from success to failure. Paul was at the top of the heap and went to the bottom. But he kept his eye on the cross. It was the preaching of the cross that caused him all the problems. And he kept focused on him, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He said it this way, seeing him who is invisible. And as I looked at him, whatever comes, there's nothing to come. I tell you what, if God had said, here's the deal. If you go spend 100 years in hell, I'll let you go to heaven for eternity. That's a great deal.
Boy.
That's a great deal. But you know what? That's not what he said. He said, if you just trust me. And all of a sudden, we can't trust him. We can't trust him with finances. Can't trust him with our health. We can't trust him. We've got to do it our way. And so they're just saying, here, we need to get some folks that say, but if not, whatever comes along, Lord, I will trust. I wish I could get to that place. I read about those two guys, and I like the part where they win. We all like that. But you had to have some guts to get to that place. You had to look at the fire furnace and say, that's okay. Because whatever you got, Nebuchadnezzar, I'm not changing. I'm serving God. If God doesn't deliver me, if I go into the furnace, that's fine. I'm still not worshiping your God. I'm still not worshiping that image. I'm sticking with Jesus Christ. That's who I'm sticking with. Whatever happens. See, that shows that God had done work in these guys' lives. You can't get out of the fire until you've been in it. Think about that. I want you to bow your heads for a moment. And let me tell you that God is not somebody that just is going to bend over backwards to make sure we're happy. God is God. He's a righteous God. He's a loving God. He's an honest God and He's a just God. And He's a God that has never turned down a request to be saved. I've never known, over 26 years since I started going into prison, and I've never seen anybody that sincerely requested Jesus Christ to come into their life, but He didn't do it. I've never seen Him say to somebody, you've done too much wrong, or you've gone too long, or you waited too long. Even the one on the cross, He said, today you'll be in paradise. I'm going to ask you, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you want a God that you can trust through hell and high water? That you can say, but if not, I can still serve Him, because in the long run, I'll win. The Bible said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You say, Leland, I know that. And maybe you do. Some of you could probably quote it. You've just never done it. You've never said, Lord, here am I. Would you please take me? Come, you sinners, lost and hopeless. Jesus shed His blood for folk like us. I'm going to ask Charles, won't you stand while your head is still bowed and your eyes still closed? And I'm going to ask Charles to sing a verse of Just As I Am. And this is the way you come, just as you are. And you come tonight and say, I want to trust Christ as my Savior. Or maybe years ago you trusted Him and your life has been anything but if not. You come and say, I want to be real with God. I'm tired of being a phony. I want to be real. Would you come as Charles sings?
Without one plea, but that Your blood was shed for.
Sing one more verse of that song. Have you done what God wanted you to do? I'm not talking about, and let me tell you this. I know some of you got so-called friends that you think that'd be a cop-out to trust Christ. You think that's a sign of weakness. And let me tell you why you're totally wrong, because you don't have guts to do it tonight. It's not a sign of weakness. To step out is a sign of courage, a sign of guts, a sign of bravery. Like these three men. Doesn't make any difference what happens. We're going to serve Jesus Christ. Charles is going to sing one more verse. Nobody comes, we'll be through. But have you done what God wants you to do? Maybe you just need to come and pray and say, Lord, help me have a kind of courage. Come and trust Christ. What do you need to do?
Rid my soul of one dark blood to Thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
Our precious Heavenly Father, we know there's some here tonight that really need to take that step. So my prayer is that you give them another chance. And I know you'll do what's right. And I know that comes a time that all of us will draw that last breath. Pray for those. Father, there's some of your people here tonight that just need to get some resolve, some backbone, some courage to live for you regardless of what takes place. Father, help me to stand up for you. Sometimes just to stand up for you takes more than anything. But Father, be with those here tonight. Bless them. Have your own way in their lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. The bar is open. Thank you for being here. You've been a good group.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.